I knew Kiera was going to upstage me. And that's okay. But Kiera also offered you some theology this morning around the name of Jesus. And I'm going to offer you some very different theology. For you first-time visitors, let me just say, if you come back next Sunday, somebody different will be here. Okay? If I offend you in any way. I performed this song at a nightclub in New York City. And after I got through doing the song, the master of ceremonies came up and he told a story about Ram Dass visiting his brother in an insane asylum. And he asked his brother, he said, "Why are you in the insane asylum?" And his brother said, "Well, they've locked me up because I think I'm Jesus." And Ram Dass said, "No, that's not why they locked you up. They locked you up because you don't realize everybody else is Jesus." If you ever get to thinking you're Jesus, you're going to need psychological care. If you ever get to thinking you're the king of the world with a crown up in your hair, then you're going to need a little bit of lithium and a short hospital stay. And the folks at the church say you're in for a shock when it comes the judgment day. See, yourself is fantastic. We're all into self-esteem. See yourself as a child of God, a trickle in the endless stream. But if you ever get to thinking you're Jesus, you're in for a heck of a fight. Never mind how divine you feel in your heart. Never mind that you might be right. And if you ever get to thinking you're Buddha, you might keep it to yourself for a while. You can set your butt neath a Bodhi tree. You can smile that sweet old smile. But if you tell them at the state sanatorium, they got a room they'll put you in. You can't see your Bodhi tree from there. They don't care how much you grin. So see yourself as fantastic. We're all into self-esteem. See yourself as a child of God, trickle in the endless stream. But if you ever get to thinking you're Buddha, you're in for a heck of a fight. Never mind how divine you feel in your heart. Never mind that you might be right. Blessings on these gifts and these givers. I want to say again to our first-time visitors that please come back. Please come back. I am a Pentecostal, evangelical, snake-handling, eye-bulging, foot-washing Unitarian Universalist. And not many people who appear in these pulpits have my particular propensity for enthusiasm. But that's all right. That's all right. It takes all kinds to make a world, and it certainly takes all kinds to make Unitarian Universalism. I set out to come down here with two ideas, but I have been processing these two ideas with friends of mine, and they have evolved into three ideas. So you're going to hear about three ideas this morning. You will hear a number of stories in the next few minutes. Here's the first. A member of the Greenville congregation came to me, and I served them for 8 years as their settled minister. She came to me after one of my sermons, and she said, "I feel like you want me out on the street protesting the war. You want me getting arrested, protesting the failure of South Carolina to extend Medicaid benefits. You want me feeding hungry people. And what I got to tell you is, I'm already doing all I can do." She said, "Would you mind acknowledging that every now and then from the pulpit?" It was a game changer for me. And I did. I did acknowledge it in more than one sermon. You are already doing all you can do. I understand. I'm so sorry if any other speaker here in this pulpit has failed to acknowledge that. You are already doing all you can do. Now, I'm going to set off a firestorm of resistance. I'm going to feel the heat coming off this congregation this morning. Not only are you already doing all you can do, but it is also your best. The reason I know there's a firestorm of resistance running through you right now is because I've offered this to other groups. And so many people say, oh, no, I haven't done my best. When I cheated on my partner, when I got drunk and wrecked my car, when I simply stopped too early on a project when one more pass through would have made it better, I have not done my best. Y'all feel the heat? It's pretty hot. Here's another story. I once worked for a theater director named Sandy Moffitt. He told us to never say we could have done better. He said such thinking is utterly useless. He said he hates to be on the golf course with some guy who misses a putt and hear him say, I'm a better golfer than that. Sandy says, if he were a better golfer, he would have made that putt. Let me let that sink in. Sort of the way a putt sinks into the hole. So let's review. I have acknowledged that many of you, if not all of you, are already doing all you can. And it has to be enough because that's what happened. That's what you did. You did all you could do. The second idea, the one that you are a little less comfortable with, is that it was your best. That's the second idea. With the resources you had at the moment, with the abilities you had at the moment, you did your best. If you were a better golfer, you'd have made that putt. For some of you, this is a very strange and unusual sermon. You're not used to being told you did your best. But you did. That's all you could do in that moment. It really was your best. But by social standards, it was wrong or stupid or bullheaded or crazy and certainly less than perfect. With what you had at the moment, it was all you had. In fact, it was the best you had. You gave it your all. That's all you had in that moment. You could not have done better because you did not do better. Now I got a few minutes left. Here comes idea number three. No pressure. What, starting now and moving forward, can you do better? Please do not hear any pressure in the question because I understand deeply and profoundly how hard it is to do better. I gained 15 pounds 2 years ago. And I'll be dipped in dog doobers if I can get rid of them. It's terrible. But maybe we can do better. I hope to do better. Maybe if y'all invite me back, I will have lost those 15 pounds. I don't know. But in order to illustrate this point, I want to tell you one more story. On December the 4th, 1955, the black citizens of Montgomery, Alabama, had endured generations of racial humiliation. Jim Crow laws had limited their rights, racist policies in hiring and education, police violence, countless other slights of inhumanity that white people cannot identify with. We just can't identify with it. We can't imagine it. 3 days earlier, on December 1st, Rosa Parks, whose picture is on the cover of your order of service, Rosa Parks refused to give her seat to a white man and was arrested for it. Up until that moment, the black citizens of Montgomery had done their best. They had done all they could do. But the next day, they decided to do better. On December the 5th, 1955, the leadership of the NAACP met with black ministers and elected a 26-year-old Martin Luther King Jr. to lead the Montgomery bus boycott. On December 4th, they had done all they could do. On December 5th, they said, we're going to do better. We're going to do better. For the next year, they walked instead of riding the bus. They carpooled instead of riding the bus. They hired taxis when they can afford to instead of riding the bus. The legal team of the NAACP took the case all the way to the Supreme Court. And 1 year and 15 days later, the court ruled racial segregation of city buses to be unconstitutional. It was one of the most crucial moments in what would come to be known as the modern civil rights movement. On December 4th, they had done all they could do. On December 4th, they had done their best. And on December 5th, they decided they would do better. Now, listen to me very, very carefully. I did not come down here to urge us into the streets to protest U.S. military operations in the Middle East and in the Horn of Africa. I did not come down here to urge us into the streets for universal health care, an end to mass incarceration, legalization of most recreational drugs, reforms in housing and education policies to benefit all Americans, a $15 an hour minimum wage, electric cars powered by solar panels, clean water, minimum life support for all people all over the world. But I do want to ask you a question. What can we as Unitarian Universalists in Columbia, South Carolina, do to make the world better? Can we light one more candle? Do you know that even though atheism, agnosticism, and none of the above are the fastest growing religious paths in the United States, even though we are still the largest market for candles in the world? We're lighting candles for something. Can we open our minds and hearts to the idea that maybe there is one more thing that we can do to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable? Can we do better? And if we can, what is that thing? Can we do a better job of welcoming visitors? Y'all are so welcome. And promoting this congregation to a wider community? Can we be more accepting, more kind, more generous, more compassionate? Our congregation in Panama City, Florida, lost all the trees around their meeting house and took pretty serious damage to their outbuildings during the recent hurricane that struck Panama City. Maybe we could send them a little something to help with repairs. It's all a matter of scale, isn't it? Light one more candle, help them in Panama City, do what we can to do better. When the NAACP voted on December 5th, 1955, to begin the bus boycott, they announced a public meeting would be held at a local worship center to organize the effort. Only 3 hours passed between the announcement of the meeting and the opening of the meeting. Many of the organizers worried that very few people would show up. Instead, hundreds came. The crowd overflowed out into the yard, and speakers had to be set up outside. To hear Dr. Martin Luther King say, "If we are wrong, then the Supreme Court of the United States is wrong. If we are wrong, then the Constitution of the United States is wrong. And if we are wrong, then God Almighty is wrong." He loved to quote the Old Testament prophet Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. There is already so much on our plates. How dare any preacher or politician or social activist ask us to do anything more? Modern life is already too demanding. We don't have time or energy or vision or belief that anything we do will make any difference. We are already doing our best. Isn't that what the preacher said Sunday morning? We're already doing our best. We're already doing everything we could do. If we were better golfers, we would have made that putt. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on us about hungry children or war-weary Middle Easterners and Africans. We are already doing our best. Please, no guilt, no guilt. I had a therapist tell me once that guilt is just feeling bad as a substitute for doing something different. Maybe guilt might motivate us to do something different. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. With what we've got, with what we know, with how much we have raised, with our current obligations, with the way we think and act and move in the world, we are already doing our best. And yet, when it came time on December 5th, 1955, they filled a church house in Montgomery and they spilled out into the yard so that speakers had to be set up in the yard. They launched the Montgomery bus boycott and they changed the United States of America and they changed the world. Today is February 17th, 2019. This afternoon, tomorrow, maybe next week, we may do better. The world is hungry for what we believe. Poor people, black people, LGBTQ people, veterans of the past 18 years of U.S. military involvement, people all over Colombia and nearby towns are hungry for the barbecue we serve here. This place is sacred in its religious freedom, precious in its politics, treasured beyond measure in its vision for social justice. We don't all agree about everything, and that is our genius. But we never are content just to miss that putt. We want to keep on swinging, keep on talking, keep on walking, walking up to freedom's land. When Dr. King called white preachers to Selma, the largest number of white ministers in the United States who went to Selma were Unitarian Universalists. When the first legal same-sex marriage was performed in the United States, it was performed by a Unitarian Universalist minister. And when the United States prepared to invade Iraq, a banner hung from UU headquarters in Boston that read, "No war for oil." I don't know the answer to the question, but I know it has to be answered. What can we do better? How can we take the fact that we are already doing all we can do and do just a little bit more? How can we take the fact that we are already doing our best and face the next moment with open minds and hearts and listening ears, candle lighting fingers, wild and precious imaginations, and do just a little bit better? We will continue to gather in the belief that a better day is coming. Justice will roll down like waters, righteousness like a mighty stream. We just might have to push